Today's sermon is called God, Mr. President, and Me. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Our Lord God, of our grateful hearts, minds, spirits, and souls, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we're hearing scripture that was from a letter that was written in Paul's name. This happened with many of the letters we see in the New Testament, letters that need authority to the audience to which they were written. In the ancient world, they did that a lot, writing in the name of the one who might have spoken or written those words. In our modern times, it's kind of like having a speechwriter, the one who knows what might be said. If the person had the time to write it themselves and thought about to whom it was being presented. Very few important people these days, much less back then, were like Abraham Lincoln, who penned all his own stuff. Now, the Apostle Paul is a Pharisee and is a Roman citizen. He's an important guy before his conversion to Christianity, and so he might be qualified to write on the heights of imperial power and its intersection with God. And Pharisees know all about prayer as leaders of the synagogues. But prayers then, as today, reflect both the will and circumstances of the people of faith. And for the most part, from the Pharisees' point of view, are centric to the nation of Israel. Imagine then the surprise Timothy must feel when he is advised to pray for all members of the human family, including the godless Emperor Nero of Rome, the emperor at the time of this letter. Nero needed a scapegoat for the great fire of Rome in 64 AD, and he blamed the Christians to take the focus off himself. Christians were denied certain privileges in society, and some of them were publicly butchered or fed to the lions in the Colosseum. And yet, Paul says to this, that even if we disagree, we are to pray for those who rule the daily affairs of our lives. What a weird approach to governmental authority, particularly when that government seems arbitrary and capricious rather than just and merciful. Paul encourages us, we are encouraged to pray for kings, those ruling heads of state or CEOs of our government. We pray for those who represent us to the world at large. And Paul says we are encouraged to pray for those who are in authority, those who are subordinate rulers, regional leaders, local officials. We are to pray for those who protect and provide for us on a daily basis. But what if we disagree with what's going on? What do we do when we see what we perceive as stuff that should not be going on? Shouldn't we voice our concern? If we're being mistreated because of government intervention, shouldn't we sign a protest or sign a petition or do something? Well, we're talking prayer here. And Paul says that we should challenge false teachings and reinforce right actions. But maybe we should pray first before getting too riled up. Maybe we should lift up our ruler in prayer, whether it's the president, the director of whatever agency, or a local member of the board or town government. Jesus, you'll recall, often went off to a place by himself and prayed before he acted against the authorities of his day. And like Jesus, Paul places primary importance on prayer. Now, we're not talking about the different types of prayer that we have for our personal well-being here, like petitions, thanksgiving, lament, and the like. Paul is talking about the scope of prayer, that we can trust coming to God with requests, needs, and desires for ourselves and for others. Here, Paul insists that we thank God for where we are and what we have, and that prayer should always include thanksgiving. We're pretty good at asking God for action, aren't we? But we're not so good at remembering to thank God for answers, because we don't know quite how to see Him or hear Him. I got a question for you. Do we ask others around us to pray with us? I often get pushback that the evidence is that prayer doesn't work. We can ask God for anything. God wants us to put our cares out there, to lean on God's heart for peace and solace. But we too often expect our prayer is going to prompt the hand of God, that our will be done, when in fact, God's hand is only and must only be based on God's will be done. The prayer that works is the prayer that taps into God's intentions. When things are peaceful in our lives, we take good government for granted, don't we? But we shouldn't overlook things that light our rockets either. That being said, we should pray for leaders of both parties of government. Who among us can say that we do that? Do we pray for judges and others who promise to be just and merciful, or does one decision cement our minds against their efforts for all time? Threats of harm, incivility, and discord should make us as Christians more inclined than ever to pray for peace, that all might hear the gospel message of truth and love for the whole world, and that no one is outside God's mercy. Remember last week? Forgiveness doesn't work unless we all do it together, for each other, that one is never above another. This knowledge goes beyond intellectual awareness. Truth requires deep spiritual discernment and full experiential knowledge. And Paul's advice extends for peace so that we might get on with the work of having folks hear God's word. We want to help nations, all the nations, to be quiet and peaceable, so that people understand our reverence, devotion, and dignity before God, that all peoples gain more insight to the purposes to which they're intended. And when you gain more insight to the purpose in which you're intended, you're a little less bent over or misshapen by sin. Remember, we talked about that a few weeks back? I want to leave you with these final thoughts. You've heard me say that God and Jesus never comment on capitalism or communism, democracy or monarchy, and they're neither inclined toward Tory, liberal, or labor. Democrat, Republican, you just put in whatever label you want. But even Christians cannot agree on the content of prayer. Just like the Pharisees, Christians can't agree on the full extent of justice, mercy, and kindness to all. But I recently read a beautiful quote from Deborah Harsma, a noted author and astronomer who lectures extensively on the intersection of faith and science to both conservative and progressive Christians. She says this: "When Christians refuse to talk to each other across disagreements, we miss out on the beauty and unity of the body of Christ." Let me say that again. when Christians refuse to talk to each other across disagreements, we miss out on the beauty and unity of the body of Christ. We don't have to agree on everything, but we do have to agree that we pray for peace so that we can be at a maximum for gospel ministry, that prayers can be answered in a way that we least expect. We may experience times of persecution. Great for gospel peace, but also not so very peaceful. But let us always say, no matter what time and place we find ourselves, in God we trust. And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.